I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hey world, Brian here. When we talked to this week's guest, Andrew, in Toronto, he was in the midst of a crazy remission. As of recently, he's been diagnosed as terminal. So listen the fuck up, because this super fabulous son of a bitch has some real quality shit to say. Check it out.
Welcome to Sick Boy, a podcast where we talk about what it's like to be sick. Today's guest is Andrew Henderson. He has T-cell lymphoblastic lymphoma. Let's talk about it. And we are recording. Not that you have to, you know.
No, just wait until everybody gets
present.
I just want to say that.
Oh, yeah, God. Yeah. No,
don't do that. I'm so glad
for
we don't have
sure
on right
don't
now.
Do that anymore.
Cool. So, what's your last name? Andrew
Henderson.
Henderson.
Sorry, with an okay. H, yeah.
So, we just flew in. We had a crazy day. We just flew in today.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa.
We flew in, like, this morning.
Bienvenido.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks. It's been a crazy day.
Cheers.
Yeah, so Andrew, our guest today, he brought us champagne.
I think I passed my cancer on to you.
Oh, Jesus.
Cancer. Whoa, so you have cancer.
So why don't we talk a little bit about that?
I was just going to throw it to that, but that was a perfect segue.
Did I just drop the bomb?
I was going to say, what brings you to our hotel room today?
Well, these three boys messaged me on Grindr and invited me over. And I just figured, well, why not? I'm up for it. I was told I had terminal cancer. Why not? Live life, right?
Carpe diem.
Carpe diem. Seize the fucking moment. Three boys from Halley. Can't toss that up.
Oh man. God. Now can we make a Grindr profile for the three of us?
Yes, for the three of us.
We always act as one.
Oh my god.
It's all of us or none of us.
Holy shit. But in real life,
Grindr is real life.
Yeah.
Grindr does exist.
But we were introduced through my ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, I guess so.
Katie, yeah.
I don't know your guys' history, but...
She was my high school sweetheart. Oh. We came to Toronto, like, together.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and we were madly in love. I love Katie. I love her to death. I was like, hey, I'm coming to Toronto. Do you know anyone who's sick? And she was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
So she put us in touch. And then when we spoke to you, we were like, oh, whoa.
Yeah.
You are sick.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Who knows what the fuck's going on?
Yeah. So what is going on?
That's interesting.
Yeah. So last summer I was diagnosed with lymphoblastic lymphoma.
Okay. Say that again.
I'm just good at it.
Yeah, you are.
Mouthful, yeah.
Nymphomastic, nymphomaniac,
Lymphoblastic.
Not a nympho. Lympho, like lymphodes, yeah. Lymphoblastic lymphoma.
It sounds
lymphoblastic
like a weapon from Star Wars.
Ooh, yeah, definitely.
Blastic, yeah. Lymphoblastic lymphoma.
Yeah.
And that's a type of cancer.
It is a real type of cancer, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they basically were like, one day I was like, you know, I'm not breathing right. Like I feel off. And I went to the hospital and they like, were like, you know, we're just going to send you for a scan. And then the X-ray tech, I think like cried right then and there. And
was
you have like a mass.
Was this in Toronto?
This was in Winnipeg.
Okay. I was going to say
and
the Toronto doctor's
this,
breaking down.
This poor X-ray tech was just like, we have to get you into emergency right now. And I was like, what the fuck?
Oh, no.
Yeah. And she was like, yeah.
She just broke down.
basically the tumor that was in my chest was completely like on top of my right lung. All the air I was taking in was done by my left lung.
Oh my Whoa. God.
Yeah, so the tumor was massive.
So she was looking at this gigantic
football sized tumor. It had been growing for like 6 months untreated. So it was just like going bananas.
And obviously growing rapidly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because 6 months doesn't, I mean,
well, it's a very aggressive disease. Yeah. So,
did you have any swelling or
no? I have like a tattoo right on my chest that I got a week before. Yeah, and I was like, this is so painful, but not realizing that there was a tumor underneath that.
Yeah, but I mean, your sternum, your rib cage, like that whole thing is there to protect all those internal organs. So if you have something pushing on the inside, it's not easily going to just like
protrude from your
exactly. It was like, if anything, it was like growing into my body, right? Yeah. Like pushing my lung down. So
which it clearly was because you couldn't breathe.
Yeah. So they started treatment right away. Which is great. So I did treatment in Winnipeg, had like 8 rounds of chemo, lost all my hair, was like a little boy, which was really fun. And then they told me that it was terminal. It had, I had a bone marrow transplant first. And so the bone marrow transplant was like the last thing that could save me. Mm-hmm. It was like from a donor I did not know. And that was to correct my bone marrow to like start to recognize cancer cells as something bad so it can kill it. So in your bodies, your bone marrow hopefully
does that for you.
Mm-hmm. But mine was like, no, cancer, come and chill. Like,
okay, so let me just take it back for a second. You go in, you see this technician, she freaks out.
Yeah.
And how quickly does that go from that day to getting a bone marrow transplant? Was that really
so that
soon?
Was July, and then I didn't get my bone marrow until this past April.
Oh, okay.
So July. Yeah, so they have to get 2014.
So almost a year.
So yeah, bone marrow is, it's super painful, right? To donate bone marrow? Is that true?
I think it used to be. Now it's okay.
That's what I heard. Okay.
Yeah,
I heard
it used to be like they would harvest it, which is a horrible.
So I wonder,
word,
it might be really interesting to search to Google that or to find out more about that, because I feel like, and Taylor, you and I just both thought that it's very painful to donate bone marrow, and I'm assuming that they have a shortage of bone marrow because they're always looking to collect blood, and I know that more people donate blood than people donate bone marrow, right?
Well, I'm not sure on the stats on that, but I don't know, everyone should donate because you never know who you might be a specific match to, like a 10 out of 10. I know that in Germany, it's mandatory to be tested to see what you are, and then if you're a match for someone in the world, you're encouraged to donate.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
good,
which is a really
Germany.
So
anyway, carry on.
How did the bone marrow transplant go?
Great. It was very successful for the first little while. Mm-hmm. It was like fun because I was like in diapers because like literally it's like your bone marrow basically creates every cell in your body. So like it has to go through your entire body and like replace everything. So like every system becomes like under attack all at once. And so like, I'm like running around my hospital room in like a diaper, like having these fun things.
Does it make you really sick that way?
Oh yeah. And you're really susceptible to infection. Like, so the ward I was on was like an isolated ward. Like it was like prison.
Were people hazmat suits?
Yeah, exactly. 100%. I was like, where's my bubble? I want to go outside. Yeah. Like, And then, and then a few months after that, my cancer kind of came back. They found a couple sites, and they were like...
So after the bone marrow transplant, were they like, oh, you're good?
No, they never say you're good.
Okay.
Like, doctors are very clear very on cautious. Never okay. saying you're good.
Okay, so they at first said, this is terminal.
They did this, they never said it was terminal. The entire time, everyone's like... Oh, you're a young guy, you're healthy, this is so, like, beneath you. You are going to kick this ass, like, kick its ass, and it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
And then the bone marrow transplant didn't work, and that was my last option. There was, because I had T-cell lymphoblastic, lymphoma, there was very few chemo drugs that actually existed to treat it. So in a, like, in a sense, it was like we just were running out of options. So we did the bone marrow transplant, which comes with like total body radiation and high doses of chemo. So your body is just like wrecked afterwards. And they don't want to do it again, because especially so soon, because basically it's just, yeah, there's so many more issues that can come up from too much radiation.
That was this year? You did the transplant this July?
April.
This April, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Is it full body radiation because it's in your lymphatic system and it spreads all over? Or
yeah, because it can present anywhere in my body.
Yeah. Yeah. Versus like we did an episode with a guy who had a brain tumor and he had like targeted down to like a millimeter where the radiation was like pointed. So.
Yeah, I really envy that because total body radiation was like the worst thing.
Yeah, it sounds
in
like
the
hell.
Fucking world. Yeah.
What did it bring up? Like what kind of?
Well, they just like first of all, they're like trying to cram you into this very small space. Mm-hmm. So you're like your knees are up at your chest, and you have to hold that for 7 minutes on each side.
Oh god!
So it's like, and then you do that for 4 days,
oh,
in a row.
Oh,
yeah. While you're receiving like chemo and all of that,
and then
not to mention the havoc it wreaks on your fucking body. You know what I mean? Like,
well, exactly. Yeah, and yeah, like as you're receiving the body, like total body radiation, you're getting these high doses of chemo. It's like a 5 day countdown to when the transplant's happening. So it's like, yeah, you're like counting down these days, and then it's like finally these like weird packages show up and they're like, it's here. And they, like, people wish you a happy birthday because it's like, God, I'm like, what's happening? Like, but like literally as soon as I got it, I just like passed out. I was just like, okay, we're done. Like, just like, it's into my system. Whatever happens, happens.
So you go through the transplant. You find out pretty soon afterwards that it didn't work.
Like a few months later.
A few months later, okay.
Yeah.
And that's, what do they tell you at that point? Like, that when you found out that it didn't work, what was that experience?
Well, I like tried to help hold it together. And then when...
Your doctor told you?
It was like my doctor and my nurse. And my doctor back in Winnipeg was like really hilariously blunt about things. Like, so it was just like... really horrible. And I was just like, okay, well.
That's what he said?
No. He was just like so blunt about it.
I'm going to tell you something, and it's really horrible. You ready?
Yeah. I don't know if you can imagine how bad this is about to be.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, I just like, if anything, I was like sympathizing with him because I'm like,
this must
how
be
do you
so
do
hard
your job?
You.
Like, yeah. You have to tell people this like, who knows, daily or weekly basis. Like, yeah. Fuck.
He's like about to tell you that.
So what did they tell
your
you?
Cancer is
he told
like
you
not.
He told you it didn't work.
I had gone for a scan, and they had found a site in my spine, and on my liver, I think. And basically, the only suggestion could have been was that my cancer had returned.
Okay.
So because it was within a year of having a bone marrow, clearly it
they
didn't
were like
work.
Yeah that. Was yeah. not something that helped.
Yeah, so...
Fuck.
Yeah, and then, so I, like, cried for 3 seconds, and then I was, like, Googling, like, oh, what's that age where, like, musicians die at? It's,
27.
Like, the 27 Club, yeah. And I was, like, turning 27 in a month, and I was, like, fuck yeah, I'm going to die at 27. Yeah. I was, like, I got to make it for another month.
Speedballs every day!
yeah.
Going was, down like, with
yeah,
Jimmy,
I'm gonna be
Jimmy
the
and Janice.
Club. This is the best fucking thing. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Did they give you, were they like, you probably have X amount of time to live?
Right? Yeah, they were like, you know, like untreated. So they were like, we have a chemo drug you've already had, but like your body becomes accustomed, like it learns how to respond to these chemo meds. So they become pretty ineffective pretty quickly. So they were like, we can do this for a bit, but eventually we're just giving you toxic chemicals, like...
Yeah, yeah, they're not
just,
doing
they're
anything.
They're not going to do anything. They're just going to make you more sick. Your quality of life is going to be terrible. And then at that point, you either decide or I decide not to continue.
Wow.
Yeah, so at that point, he was like, that's anywhere from 6 weeks to 6 months.
Holy Whoa. Shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa. And when was this?
In August.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
like
that's super insane.
A few months ago,
super.
Yeah.
Like 4 months ago.
Yeah.
Thanks for the precision, Brian.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
he's got a calendar in his pocket. It's okay.
Yeah.
Hey, I was being serious.
Yeah. So okay. So they say 6 weeks to 6 months.
So right then now you're. Since then, how many months?
No. Okay. So it's been 4 months.
4 months.
They said 6 weeks to 6 months. What do you do then?
Well, I was at home with my family, so.
So you were in Winnipeg.
Still in Winnipeg.
Yeah. Now you're in Toronto. So then, what has happened in that time?
So I was very fortunate. My family started a fundraiser, like a GoFundMe, because they were like, "Well, Andrew has a bucket list, and let's like give him his like last hurrah."
What was on the bucket list?
Well, it's complicated because it's like always shifting, right? Like I wasn't expecting to be put into that situation where it was like,
quick, make a list.
Yeah,
God damn it.
Exactly. And like, so what?
Did you hear about Jeremy's children's wish?
No.
Oh, fuck.
He got a shopping spree.
Oh, fuck off. Can we just drop it, please? It's the most embarrassing thing.
I'm sure whatever's on your bucket list last minute,
I'm sure
it's better than a shopping spree.
Yeah, I mean, Halifax, it was just shopping center. It's just an absurd situation to like find yourself in, and people are like, so
real.
What, like, what do you need to do? And frankly, I was like, I just want to like live out like whatever I have left. Like, there's nothing like, I'm not the type of person who lives with regrets or I feel like I lived with regrets. So it's like, I'm like, I was totally chill facing death. Like, it was just like, let me plan a fucking fabulous party, and like, let me have a great fucking tombstone and like all of this shit and make it really stupid and over the top and have fun with the funeral and just like go out with a huge fucking bang.
So your family starts this GoFundMe.
Yeah.
And what's the response? What's the...
Huge. Like 400 people donated.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like stuff that like, I'm like, I don't know how to react to this because it's like so overly emotional. Yeah, it's like, what the fuck? And so...
How much did you raise? Can I ask about it?
Yeah, I think the final number was around 34 grand around there. Yeah, like it was... Whoa. Yeah. And yeah, so, but I, you know, thank you to a friend of mine, Samantha. She kind of encouraged me to come out to Toronto and get a second opinion at Princess Margaret.
Okay.
And so.
Does she have any medical experience or she just
she is a fucking great advocate. Like she's training to be a lawyer and man, I would want her in my pocket or in my corner any day, any night.
Yeah.
So she really pushed me, you know, like, why don't you, like, I was coming out here to visit people. Like, I was like, I'm going to take a week trip and, you know, see what's up in Toronto. And then when I was here, she was like, why don't we just go? Like, I've booked this appointment for you. Let's just go see what's up. And it was like that day. Like, the care that I got was phenomenal. And the doctor was like, I actually can't even believe someone told you you were terminal because there's still a lot we can do.
Whoa.
So it was like, what? Like,
whoa, how is there such a gap?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, different readings, different interpretations.
That fascinates me, though, because had you have been left... Or had you have stayed in Winnipeg,
exactly,
would you have inevitably come to an end soon?
Who knows? Who knows? Because frankly, it's just like your body is just,
I'm just picturing the doctor in Winnipeg being like, okay, well, we're going to do a few tests. We're going to put you under, you're going to get an X-ray. You're going to get some ultrasound on your lungs. And I'm just going to do some Reiki here. I'm going to do some Reiki on your chest. Reiki on your chest. Come back in a week. You definitely have cancer. You're definitely dying. Reiki didn't work.
Reiki,
that's it.
Yeah.
If the Reiki didn't work,
you're fucked. The Reiki didn't take.
Yeah.
The Reiki didn't take you.
Best bet right now is to do a GoFundMe.
Okay, so the doctors tell you that's fucked, that they told you that you had no options. So what what happened?
So then they just, like, went full force, like, sending me for biopsies. Like, they're like, we're not going to tell you your terminal until we know for sure that these sites are actually cancerous. Like, right. They could just be infections. And my doctor had said, like, there's a very slim chance that this is the reality, that, like, it isn't cancer. But, like, the test that I'd already gone for, like, the CAT scan, which is where they fill you with sugar and it, like, lights up. You, like, light up like a Christmas tree because that's where the cancer is. Like, suggested heavily that it was cancer. Like, so he was just reading the results that he got and that was the suggestion at the time. But also, I think there was a point where my body just kicked in and was like, fuck no. We're going to start killing this disease.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. And I had, like, this weird, like, moment where I was doing dishes. And at one point, like, just this idea in my mind was like, you're going to fucking kill this shit.
Yeah.
Like, and I was like, holy fuck, yeah, that's happening.
You're just doing dishes, you go to turn on the faucet, and you rip the sink out of the, out of the wall. Yeah. You're like, oh, shit. What was that?
My strength.
Yeah.
I'm turning green.
You put on your brand new leather belt, and you snap it in half.
Leather belt.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happened.
So you just felt, you were just like that. You were like, I'm gonna fucking own this. I'm gonna kill this thing.
Yeah, like it was just like, how could I not? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm pretty spectacular. So
great. That's a fantastic attitude.
Yeah.
And was that overly different in comparison to your perspective before that? Were you kind of resigned to the disease at any point, and then you just completely shifted? Or was it kind of like you're going along for the ride and then you just made a definitive choice to say, like, attitude changed, I'm going to beat this, body, kick it up, like, kick it into top gear?
No, like, I really was, like, so chill about everything. Like, I was like, hey, so when it was like, no, you're going to survive, I was like, okay, like, it was the same reaction I was, like, to when I was told I was going to die.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, okay, shift gears now.
How do I give everyone their money back?
Yeah.
So after the doc in Toronto said, hey, this, you know, there's a lot more options, we need to re-examine this, what was the process from there to...
Well, they're still monitoring me, so I'm still sort of in that process.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because this is just in August.
Yeah, and there are still possibilities that it could still come back.
Yeah. Like,
they say generally after a year you're sort of in a safe zone, and 5 years you're even better.
And what have they told you since August?
They've just been monitoring my disease. Like, so I'm now having reactions to the bone marrow,
mm-hmm.
and it's a disease called graft versus host, which I'll probably have for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Graft versus host?
Yeah, so it's like the new bone marrow is like attacking my body. That sounds like a little sweet Pac-Man movie cells. Title. Like, yeah. So, like, you can see it, like, in my skin, my lungs, like, it just, like,
how
affects
does it
me.
Present? Like, how does it present in your skin? Like, what's
Well, my skin's looking pretty good now, but before it was like really rashy, dry, like my eyes were really dry, like painful, not being able to eat, all of these things. Like, so it's like, it's affecting, like, it's going through every system in your body.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was just like, that's what I'm in now. Basically.
How do you feel? Do you feel good overall?
Yeah, the whole time I felt pretty good. Like, there was no time I felt ill or sick. Like, I was just like, I'm fucking killing cancer. Like, like, it's just like, I'm gonna rock this and it's gonna be great. And yeah, I mean, now it's just sort of like figuring out my life again. Like, there's no trust that there's a future, which is kind of weird,
right?
Because at any point that can be taken away.
Are you here in Toronto because of the monitoring, or have you kind of migrated here?
I used to live here.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of my support network is here.
Sure.
Yeah. Especially, like, as a queer person, like, there's not a huge community in Winnipeg. So it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
How old are you?
27.
Okay.
Yeah. In the club.
In the club.
If it's going to happen, it better fucking happen this year. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
In the club.
Yeah. Yeah.
This year or not for another long time.
That's what I say.
Either do it now or hang on.
Yeah.
What did you do with the money?
I basically have been using it to sort of reestablish myself here. So getting an apartment, because I just felt like it was worth, well, unfortunately, I was on like disability back in Manitoba, but there is this really sad like gap in our system that when you move to a new province to get a second opinion, you no longer get drug coverage. Thankfully, I've had this money because it's been paying for my drugs.
Oh, wow.
And for, like, the expenses associated with getting a second opinion.
Right.
Oh, no shit.
So it's been...
Because the doctors and everything is coming out of Ontario instead of from... Out of,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like, so, like, I'm, you know, I'm not paying for doctors or anything, but it's just, like...
Sure.
That, like, I'm not on Ontario disability, so my drugs are not covered, so... You know, living expenses aren't covered, all of these things.
Yeah.
Right.
And there are supports, like, kind of built into the system to help curb those costs. But it has been, like, yeah, thankfully I had that money.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because so I don't know how why would it, other people do it.
Yeah.
Why does that gap exist? Is it just an oversight or is it, it's specifically to prevent people from...
Each province has their own system and they, like, on Manitoba would not pay for pharmaceutical drugs that are... like distributed in Ontario.
Now with everything that you're going through, treatments, you know, fucking cancer, all that stuff, are you able to work?
No.
No.
Like, well, I mean, I'm trying to, and I like have been pushing myself to like when I was out in Manitoba, like wanting like starting art organizations and like trying to keep myself busy because it was just like it's boring as fuck to just be like homesick all day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
So even now, it's like trying to keep my mind busy doing creative projects and working on plays, trying to work on dance shows, stuff like that. Like just trying to keep myself occupied, like in whatever way possible, just to like get out of the house or do things. So, yeah.
Cool. Do you, looking back at this experience up to date, do you look at yourself differently after this?
Yeah, like I was very surprised with the way I handled like being told I was gonna die, being told I had cancer. Like it was just like, yeah, it's a shitty thing, but I'll fucking persevere.
Do you feel like you're a different person now than you were?
No, I think I'm very relatively the same. I just know myself more and can trust in like knowing how I'm going to react to things or just like the ease in which like receiving bad news is not actually as horrible as it is for maybe other people, which is pretty thankful. I'm pretty thankful for. Yeah.
Why do you think like what is it? Are you able to pinpoint what it is? Because I've thought about this a lot. And I think when we first talked on the phone, we kind of spoke about this is I have this very specific way that I look at death, you know, and like my shortened life expectancy.
Yeah.
In this very open and okay and accepting way that I use it to like live my life the way I want to live my life. And I see it as like this huge gift. And I would never trade it in for anything. To the point where when I hear that like the life expectancy of CF patients has increased, I'm fuck. Like,
well, that's not how I live my life. Like my fucking funeral plans were fucking fabulous, and I'm like a little disappointed that's not gonna happen.
So, can you pinpoint what, like, why, what that is? Like, is there something about you, something about your upbringing that created that or supports that, or do you think that that's just your coping mechanism? Do you think that that's the way that you?
Deal. Yeah, totally. I think there's a lot of like releasing expectations and sort of like, releasing those expectations that we have on things like such as your body, expecting your body to be healthy and functional until you're 85 is really ridiculous because you have no control over that.
Unless you're these two, Brian and Taylor. I mean, just fucking look at them, you know?
You can't healthy look. It's a podcast.
I can look.
I've been at the gym 4 times today.
Dude, when was the last time you actually were at the gym?
Yesterday. Oh. Yeah. Bench pressed 185 pounds for 25.
Just rub it in, okay? That's
No, I was actually at the gym yesterday, so
that's
you
a
two
that's
can...
a complete
you're telling a bunch of kids what to do.
Complete fabrication.
Yesterday.
He was in the gym.
You were still in there. Yeah.
He wasn't at the gym. He was in the gym. He was physically there.
I moved some of the weights.
He told little children
back and forth
what to do.
Many reps.
At the gym.
I'm curious why Brian coaches kids how to lift weights.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, and then in turn, I do it myself, and that's sure. why I'm muscular in build.
He's not that muscular.
I know, right? I know.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. Let's. Oh, I'm like 6'2", like 185 pounds
of
muscle.
How would Brian do on Grindr?
I don't know. I feel like he'd be like the abs guy. Like, you just see the torso.
I would. That's a huge compliment.
He like went into the abs face.
I don't think he meant it as a compliment.
Yeah.
No, great. Like, but you're looking at me saying, on your body. You just want to be treated like a piece of meat. I get it.
Oh, we should bring up and show Andrew some of Brian's old photos.
Oh my god.
Yeah, you know, I'm really we'll proud of this.
Brian actually used to be really Brian used to be really cut up, and he used to do some underwear modeling
and I'm really proud of
they
those
days. Are some of the funniest photos that I've ever seen.
Yeah, we'll show him the collar photo after. Anyway, we'll put that up on Twitter as well.
check Twitter
right now.
I'm okay with it.
Are you like Halifax's premier underwear model?
He had the potential. I think he had the potential.
He left it
one day. Yeah. One day he did.
Yeah.
One time.
Oh god. Okay. I'll leave it up to the listener's imagination.
Let's reel it back in here. Back to talking about dying.
You can tweet me at
and death.
You can find me personally on Twitter.
That's the title of this episode: Death and Underwear Models.
Yeah. what everyone can see are the 10 male underwear models sitting in the room. Yeah.
Standing here.
Yeah.
I just want to say, hey Andrew, guys. Before we go any further, I just want to say I love your style.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
No one can see it, but we'll take a picture of the four of us together. But you've got this. Where'd you get that vest? Like, it's I know, it's serious.
Yeah. The bay, probably from a fur trader.
I can't remember.
In the Yukon.
In the Yukon,
Did you have any? Did you have any really embarrassing moments in your experience so far?
Oh, like I loved the diaper moments. Those were hilarious. Like, just
so why
like,
were you wearing a diaper? Just because your bowels were like
days after.
Fuck this. We're just gonna shit.
Yeah. Well, days after like having the total body radiation, that was like the lowest I've ever been. It was like. God. I would be like sleeping, and then I would just like shit myself. And I was
like you have no control.
Yeah,
like, no control.
Just like nothing was working. It was just like I would like or I'd be
did
lying there and vomit. Like it was just
did
like
they also just give you like a pacifier and a rattle.
I wish. Yeah. I started registering on like cam girls or their cam boy sites and just like playing up baby fetishes. No. But it was like that was the hilarity of it. I was like. I'm fucking 26. I'm running around a fucking massive diaper.
You know, someone out there is going,
Please.
I kind of like this.
That's on my contact information. I currently don't have a job, so.
Your email's going to blow up when this episode.
I kind of like the sound of that. Tell us more.
So that was super embarrassing. But even then, it's like hilarious. Like, it's so funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. Other than that, it was like. I wasn't embarrassed by it at all. Like, I would go out to clubs, like, I would, like, put glitter on my bald head. Like, I would just glue glitter to my bald head.
Sweet.
And I would joke with my friends all the time that I would just, like, show up in, like, a hospital gown with, like, the tower, like, a chemo tower. Hey, guys, let's go clubbing! Like,
oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
One bag's got like chemo, the other one's just got straight alcohol running into your veins.
100%.
right into the bloodstream.
As soon as I was done around a chemo, like I was so set on like staying as like a club kid, like going to the club, partying. So it was like a week after chemo, if I was feeling good, I'm like, okay, we're going out this weekend. Like no questions asked. My poor fucking best friend who's like, you're gonna die on me.
You didn't tone it down at all. You were like,
no, and
you
I
turned
was
it
like,
up.
I tried so hard to turn it up because it was just like,
you had
I
to.
Can't, yeah, like And like the whole sort of motto in my mind was the moment I let it change me or like change my life, it wins. Like the moment I stop making jokes about it is the moment it wins. Like, so fuck this shit. I'm going to make fun of it. Like, friends of mine from Toronto here came out to visit in like the dead of winter in Winnipeg.
Oh, and I've been so cold.
Yeah, so fucking cold.
Ice fishing up in Selkirk.
I'm from Selkirk.
Oh, nice.
No, We've been ice fishing there. It's great.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. The catfish.
Yeah, the catfish.
Yeah, like Brian.
We went up there one day.
No, Jeremy, you're the only one who doesn't is not on the same level.
Jeremy's not on the soccer club.
No. I've been to Winnipeg though.
Yeah. They came to visit me. That was like, okay, I'm gonna show up at the airport like in a wheelchair, like coughing, wrapped in blankets, like they hadn't seen me. They've just like
saved me.
They just heard. Yeah.
Yeah. Save me. I don't know how much time.
You literally just paint yourself white.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, how can I make
show up looking like that guy from Powder?
What's Powder?
No,
yeah.
It's a 1990s classic.
Oh, yeah.
Is it classic? Is it classic if 75% of the population in the room hasn't seen it?
Yeah. It's been an albino guy who, like, can, I don't know.
One of the things
tell us more, Jeremy. Tell us more.
One of the things that I find that is really interesting is when we look at Deanne's perspective, she, like, when she was battling cancer, she just wanted to get in the best shape that she possibly could. She was treating her body as well as she could so that she would be in the best position to fight it,
just
right?
Like,
and Andrew, you're the opposite, baby. Right? You're like, if I'm going to go, it's going to be like Kurt Cobain style, just blow the windows and doors off the place.
I don't want that identity of being like that sick person.
But you know what? The point is that Deanne's fine now and you're doing really well now. Yeah. And what I think it boils down to is your
mentality of it.
Yeah. As long as you're positive about whether you're treating your body like shit or whether you're treating it really well, as long as you're like, I'm staying in a positive headspace and I'm just going to do this. And whatever mental, if you can stay in a positive mental state, then that's what's going to ultimately get you through it. And I said
angry assholes who were on that cancer ward with me who were like bitter as fuck and they survived.
And I think I said that to Deanne as well. And I think she said something similar to that, saying like, there are people who are really positive about it too, who end up succumbing to the disease.
Yeah, totally.
Or illness as well.
I mean, yeah.
But I think the odds are.
I think if you have the opportunity, it's a choice. Everything boils down to a choice, right? Like, that's how I perceive everything you do in life is a choice, right? Down to, like, dude, love is a choice. You know what I mean? Like, everything, right? So if you have the choice to either be positive and like, own your experience and, like, make the best of it, choose that. Or you can choose to just be, like, a really sad sack and be, like, and try to bring everyone down with
why
you.
Why me?
You know, the whole why me thing. It's like, shit happens. Yeah. Well, shit happens. Like,
exactly. And like, this is what I get down to. Again, like, if you expect to control this disease or like anything in your body, you have no control on what happens in your body. It's a separate entity from you. Like, your expectations that you're going to be healthy and you're going to be perfect your whole life are not real.
And that's not to say that you can't get sad about it.
Oh, of course
it, right?
Not. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, obviously I had moments where it was just like, absolutely, this is the fucking worst. But like, yeah.
But are you going to let that drag you down into the mud? You know?
No, I wanted them to film it and make a documentary about it. Yeah. Like, I was like, this is great drama.
these tears are real tears.
Are you guys getting this?
I would watch like medical shows and be like, this is fucking bullshit. Yeah. Like, I would get so angry. Yeah. And then I'd be like, I'd make
a medical.
My
story's way better. Yeah.
Like, dude, fuck these assholes. I'm better than Anne Hathaway in Les Mis right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude,
did you just say really something funny about Anne Hathaway?
Yeah.
Les Mis?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you say something?
Didn't she do the crying singing thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she fucking killed that. That was like the
best
thing
I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, I mean, like, fucking Shawn Mendes really hit my heart this year, so.
Singing,
I was not expecting
some emotion,
that.
Man.
Yeah.
Singing, yeah. About some emotion.
Yeah. When she sings and cries in that, oh, man.
You're moved.
So
my personal Les Mis favorite is the unmusical one, the non-musical one with Liam Neeson. Very good.
Oh, Taken 3?
Yeah, I think, actually, you know what? Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think, well, Les Mis is a very long film, a very long play, musical. So I think it was actually Taken 1, 2, and 3 combined in one, into one theatrical event. That was.
I wish Taken was Les Mis.
If Taken was a rendition of Les Mis, like a modern rendition. Like
yeah, they should make Taken into a musical.
So reeling it back in, you were saying when you got here, you were saying that you today you had a your doctor told you not to drink for 24 hours. What were you doing today?
It's a bronchoscopy.
Bronchoscopy. Oh shit! I know what that is.
Yeah, it's where they
go
into
the camera
into
your lungs.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, we were having a party, Dr. Casey and I, who's pretty fucking fabulous.
Throwing down at Dr. Casey's office yeah, with yeah. a big ass camera going down my throat.
She's like, hey, don't do anything.
Coming at
like,
ya.
She's like, don't sign any paperwork or like do anything that's going to affect your life in the future. I'm like, I have this like podcast interview. And she's like, oh,
she's like,
ooh,
that's
screwed.
A bad idea. Yeah, yeah. So wait, did you have to get like drugs for that? What's that procedure? Tell me
yeah,
about that.
So they, they stick
sounds
this freezing stuff down your throat, but it's like triggering your gag reflex the entire time, and I'm like, oh. Surprised I still have this, but like, it was like so fucking painful and like disgusting. It tastes like shit, and they're
oh,
like
God.
Okay,
oh.
just a bit more, and it's like it was like the radiation where they're like, okay, it's just only another, like, the other side of you, and then another day, which is, like, they, like, stuck, like, 8 tubes of this freezing down my throat, and each time I'm, like,
so they literally just squirt it down? What's the process?
Yeah. So they do that, and then they give you drugs to sedate you, and you're awake when they're, like, sticking the camera down your throat. You don't feel it, like,
yeah.
it's all frozen.
You're just like,
yeah. You're just swallowing cameras, you know?
Yeah, just all day.
Brian, can we get that sound again? Or?
My sex show. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Definitely yeah. stop that yeah. right now.
I was for sure being sarcastic.
Yeah, definitely don't do that, Brian.
Because essentially what they're looking for is the graft versus host disease is now present in my lungs, and so therefore making my breathing difficult. And so they want to make sure it's not an infection before they give me steroids to treat it.
Okay.
So if they give me steroids, then the infection goes, whoosh, like it just blows up.
Turns into the Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And kills me.
Yeah.
And then like,
so, yeah. Literally the Hulk in your chest. You yeah. explode.
Yeah, my chest just explodes. Yeah. It's alien, actually.
I wish that we could have like a screenshot of you having your hand in front of your chest. Going,
I mean, that's how I treated the tumor the entire time. I was like, I'm like an alien body, like, in there. I'm like, yeah.
Are vegans actually unhealthy?
Does cannabis ruin your sleep?
And why are so many men taking testosterone supplements? I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg.
And we're the creators of the popular YouTube channel ASAP Science.
Every week on our podcast, Side Note, by ASAP Science, we explain the science behind a controversial subject with recent research, up-to-date studies, and ridiculous stories so you are entertained while, bam, simultaneously learning.
We're here to make science make sense.
Download Side Note by ASAP Science wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you in a relationship?
No.
Single?
I'm in and out.
He's single, boys.
I don't know what you
can
say, but
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm, like, really not. Like, it was crazy. I dated this guy back in Manitoba from Selkirk, like, in the small town I'm from, who also had the same diagnosis as me.
Whoa.
Yeah, like, it was insane. Like, just started working at my friend's cafe, and that's where we met. And then it was, like, we started dating. But then,
did
like,
you guys
quickly,
give it to each other?
Yeah.
is this a gay thing?
Yeah. Well,
they definitely gave it to each other, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. We were giving it.
His
right?
Dad. Yeah. Right? This dad joke. Yeah. Fuck.
There was birds and bees.
Yeah. Turns out T cell lymphoblastic.
It's basically a form of AIDS.
Yeah.
it's funny. Like when I lived in Toronto before, I lived in the village, which is where I'm living now. And when I worked there, I was like a barista and like
where?
at Second Cup.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is Bulldog still there?
No.
Oh, no? Down. Oh, yeah. Man, that condos. Place was the shit.
Yeah. And they, like being a barista on Church Street is like, you're like hot shit, right? Like, oh, yeah. All these older men are just like, but like, I got to learn a lot about like older queer men and sort of the struggles they're facing. And there's a lot of AIDS patients who live in community housing very close to there. So, you know, like I'm learning all about AIDS and the illness and how that affects people. And then it was like similar things were happening with me when I was getting cancer. And I was like, oh, fuck, I should have worn a condom. Like, you just, all these things were like, I got fucking AIDS. I know it.
Yeah,
like,
right,
I'm
right.
HIV. But it was cancer.
The whole time.
Yeah, yeah. But it like also in terms of like, with like certain HIV and AIDS medications, if you stop taking them, you can't take them again.
Right.
Oh, because your body just gets used to it. So like with all my chemo meds, it was the same deal.
Interesting.
Like once I've taken them and my body gets used to it, I can't take it again. So that's why it becomes so terminal so quickly, because you just like go through like the six that exist in the world.
Yeah.
Right. Like literally last Christmas, they were like, okay, well, we really need to give you this expensive chemo drug, but the factory is closed. That makes it over Christmas.
Oh,
so we have to wait until like January 4th for them to open again and
everyone's
make it for
on
you.
Vacation.
Yeah. I was like,
just hold
fucking
tight.
Kidding
That's
me.
Crazy.
They're like, there's none in Canada. We have to like special
Whoa,
order it. And
Jesus
like,
Christ.
Yeah.
They're just not making it right
at
now.
At home enjoying their family and friends and the holidays.
Yeah. How dare they?
So just hang tight.
Motherfuckers. Yeah. have you been single this like throughout this whole process, or like, you know?
No, so, no. Like dated that guy for a bit, but
aside
like pretty
from
much,
that,
yeah.
How's he doing? How's
We don't talk anymore.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
over. Yeah, it like ended hard.
Okay. Did the illness have anything to do with that?
Yeah, definitely. Like it was like, I can't deal with your shit,
and you can't deal
and
with
my
shit.
Yeah,
totally.
We're not in a place to deal with each other's shit, so let's end it.
Yeah. So what's the dating scene like for you? Is that something that's open?
It's
that something
so
that's an
funny.
Option for
like,
you?
There were so many funny moments with like I just have no shame, I guess. Where like I would
please tell
like,
me you so, play the card. The
no, no,
card.
No. Oh God, like the pathetic. Like please sleep with
God,
me.
Listen,
I'm dying.
I'm dying. No, so
you might not have many more opportunities.
Oh my
to
God,
get
I
this.
Feel even worse. There's that scene from oh, what's that fucking movie?
Rent.
Fight Club.
No,
you're just playing. Stereotypes,
dance,
you fucking asshole.
Rent.
Well,
no, Fight Club.
See,
no, Fight Club.
No, it's Fight Club, you fucking asshole.
But there's like this scene because they go to like support clubs. Like,
yes, yeah.
And there's this one woman who's like, I'm dying. Someone sleep with me.
Oh my God.
She like starts calling out guys. I was like, that's me. Like, that's
oh,
me.
Oh, no.
But I would like back home at Winnipeg, like I'd be on Grindr and I would like show up to guys' house and I would have like pick lines in my body. So pick lines are like, because chemo is so poisonous, it can kill your veins. So they have to insert a artificial vein
right to
your heart. And I would show up at guys' house, like get naked and be like, oh, it's just a little procedure I'm getting. And they would be like clearly freaked and I would just be like, well, you're too uncomfortable to say anything, so let's just do this, and I'll get what I want, and we'll say goodbye, and we'll never talk again.
And see you later. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Thanks for your service to the cancer ward.
Oh, man.
It's way That's better amazing. Now that I don't have, like, physical evidence of what's going on, so it's way easier.
Yeah, you look...
Is it something like you that you like, so I mean, and if this is too personal, tell me to just shut up and we can move on. But is it something that you feel like you? Well, I guess you were saying like you don't have anything that's visually obvious that you're going through something serious. So I guess is it something that you feel like you need to tell
people that you're that like if it was a one night stand, if you're like, oh, yeah. By the way, I'm dying of cancer.
why complicate the situation?
Why kill the mood?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Like, oh my God, you're so hot right now. By the way, I'm dying.
I'm dying. Have sex with my corpse. Yeah. Another level.
You know that shit? You know that shit?
Yeah.
I'll wear a diaper if you want. I got a diaper for
back
in the day.
Someone is into that shit though. Like I am sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a word for it. That's why it exists.
Yeah. Like, and no, like, it's like, I don't feel any responsibility, but it is interesting because like the guys I go on dates with, who like they already know somehow or obviously I've told them, they just psychically know.
T-cell lymphoblastic lymphoma.
They're just like in a getup, like reading my fortune. No, but they... The connection tends to be much more realer and instant because it's like, this is the shit I'm dealing with. And they're like, yeah, my dad died in August.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck yeah, he did. Like, okay. And we're already on that level, which kind of takes the pressure right off.
Yeah.
So it's like it's been great in that sense, like, because you like can filter out people pretty quickly.
Yeah, totally. Like,
have you had any... negative reactions?
I was just gonna go
like
there.
What do you think?
Has anybody said anything or reacted in a way that you've kind of thought, oh, that's a
telling someone that you've got cancer
in almost an unsupportive way or even maybe like a too overbearing
if anything the negative reaction I don't like is the
patronizing.
And it's just like, no, dude, I'm not about that. Yeah. Like,
unless you're playing the baby role and they're playing the father role,
then you're talking about a fucking bottle of milk in my mouth.
Oh, God. Take this warm milk, burpy baby.
Jesus.
Patting me on the back.
Jimmy. He's got the moves down.
How did you know?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, shit.
Yeah, like, I really just don't have time for sympathy, as horrible as that sounds. It's like, I just, like,
because you don't
need us, thanks you know for, I mean? Like, it's just, I find it weird when people are like, oh, I'm so sorry for your illness, and I'm like, why the fuck are you apologizing for, like, a thing that's happening in my body? Yeah, you didn't give it to me. Like, and I get that it's like,
I get
you're
that
trying
it's a
to sympathize.
Reaction.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm like, don't apologize for someone's illness.
Yeah.
Because it's just like,
just be real.
Yeah,
just be real
just
about
be
it.
Like, that's happening.
That's
like,
fucked.
Let's do a rail. And like, and yeah. Right? Like,
well, I got some Ritalin. Let's chop that shit up. Yeah. What are you, 27? Yeah. Perfect.
I was like, I done chemo. Nothing's going to hurt me worse.
Exactly.
That reaction of like overly sympathetic, it takes the place of not knowing what to say. It's like, I don't know what to say. I'm just going to say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Maybe they're not even apologizing to you. Maybe they're apologizing to themselves. Like, I'm so sorry.
I don't know what to say right now. Yeah, 100%. You know? And people don't. Like, they don't know how to react with that. People don't talk about death. People, like, when these
people
things
get
come out,
real
like,
weird about death.
Yeah,
they get
totally.
Really freaked out.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's such a fucking natural thing. Like, people die.
Yeah.
Everybody
like, you were
dies.
Born to die.
Literally. Like, as soon as you come out of the womb, you start dying.
Yeah. So what is this fucking surprise when you find out you're dying? Like, why is that so sad? It's like, yeah, that's the next step. Like, it's just your time. Obviously, it's super sad when someone dies and that hurts, like, the longing, and I understand
that. Yeah, and mourning
that.
Is a very natural process.
100%. But this, like... this attitude of this, like, yeah, like, oh my God, like the death sentence of being like the ultimate worst thing. And it's like, that's life. Like, that's just it. Like,
It's because we're so bad with, or maybe it has something to do with, we're so bad with time. We're so bad with living now. We're always kind of like, we're always here or there with our minds, living in the past, living in the future, worrying about the future, you know, regretting the past and all these things. Then when all of a sudden it's like, it could come to an end sooner than you thought. Like, it rocks. You know, you don't.
What do you mean I'm going to die?
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be like opening up a shop.
Exactly.
Down
no,
the
this
street.
Can't
like,
happen right now. I was supposed to get the promotion.
Right now,
I was supposed to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like the expect, like, and like you were saying before, it's like a, it's, to me, it's a freedom that I know that I no longer have a future to like always expect.
Yeah.
Because there's, it's like, there's that expectation is what fucks people up so much. Like, talk about anxiety and like mental illness. Like, you are literally living in this idea of what's going to happen, but like, who the fuck knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I'm not looking for death. But man, they're like the idea of like, yeah, geez, yeah, like when I die, there's no more responsibility. You know? Yeah. There's no more worrying about what people think you're gonna do or say. There's no more. I don't have to be any certain thing. Like, it's just, I don't know. That to me, that's it. Like, it seems. I love going to sleep every night. You know, that seems like that that. And this is such a stupid analogy, but like, but like, it feels so good to just lay down at the end of a fucking long day and just go to sleep. And I feel like that's what death is going to be like. It, even though once you're done and you're dead, I believe that there's nothing else on the other side. I don't believe in, you know, I don't believe in heaven. I don't believe in hell. I don't believe in afterlife, anything like that. It, when you're dead, I think you're dead and that's it. Mm-hmm. But I think the moment of going into that has got to feel fucking pretty goddamn good.
Oh, totally. To just be like, yeah, yeah, exactly.
But you compared it to sleep, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. When I we're gonna get into this. When I go to sleep, I don't immediately go into dreaming and like, you know, okay. I just, when I go to sleep, I'm
yeah, right. And you're saying that sleep is a really enjoyable thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, then why don't you just stay alive and get to go to sleep every night? Because
we're going to get back.
Brian and I have very differing views on this.
You know, I see where you're both coming from.
And Taylor's always on the fence. That's the thing. But it's, you know, I get where you come from, you know. Like,
but I get where you come from.
Yeah, yeah. To me, the idea of living forever just seems so boring. And I think I do have a fear of getting old. You know, like, I'm not afraid of old people. Mm-hmm. But when I see an old...
Geriatrics don't frighten me.
No, but I mean, like, but when I see someone who's really old, you know, and not, like, and just, like...
You gotta really bite your tongue on that screen.
No. Like, so it's really old, and, like, and just grasping... You know, and like they're just laying in a bed all day and all their friends are dead. Dude, that just fuck.
Yeah, like when
that
the
sounds
first
awful to
the
me.
First day I was at Princess Margaret, they were like, "Oh, there's this great like rooftop patio on this floor, like you should totally go there."
Wait, and, in the hospital?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And it is very like lovely.
You should just go up
except
to the roof.
It's made have for palliative care patients. So people who are terminal and dying of cancer.
Yeah.
And I like walked out on the floor and I was like, I can't be here. I can't fucking be here. Like,
and
cause
why?
It was like,
what is it?
Seeing is it, people, cause like this patio, there's like still like a couple floors above it. And so you're seeing all these people in their like rooms, just like lying on their beds, waiting to die. And I was like, nope. Like, just like my body was like, get the fuck out of here. Get out of here right now. And I was still in the mindset of being terminal at that point.
Do you connect more with the being okay with an early death or do you want to be around here for a really long time?
I'm definitely okay with an early death. Like, there was no issue with it. Like, it. That being said, I'm obviously, well, I don't know.
But what
you
know.
It's
I
really
know.
Hard to say. Like,
I know, right?
Yeah, but what threw you off so much about the palliative care floor?
Well,
why
that's
was
the
it
thing.
That that
it's like, it,
scene was like,
the quality
whoa, no,
of
no, no,
life
no, no.
For those people
was,
from
right,
my eyes,
from your perspective,
was so, like, so sad.
Sad, yeah.
And it was like, that is not me at all.
Like, this isn't how the end should be
for
me.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, I was never a person to, like, really look ahead and be like, I think maybe it was a process of, like, coming out and, like, realizing I was gay and not wanting, like, the picket fence White House and destroying that future image for myself that really made me open to, like, whatever's out there is possible, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, as soon as those expectations were torn down and I could get to know myself a lot better and all that, it was like, you know what? I create my future. It's going to be whatever it is. And I'm happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Cool. Yeah. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. Like, I mean, you know, I think about my dog. I think about my dog and like, you know, I take my dog.
Are you comparing me to your dog?
Like no. Hear me out. I think about my dog and I take my dog to the park and my dog, the breed of dog that I have, it's not a very long lifespan. You know, their like average life expectancy is 8 years old. So, you know, I take my dog to the park and he can run and he can play and he can run and fetch a ball and stuff like that. And, you know, I feel like the day that I can't take him to the park because he just like his hips just give out and he can't do that anymore. To me, his quality of life will have dropped so far that it's not worth living.
Yeah.
For him, right?
It's so like, would you euthanize him then?
Yeah, I put him down. The day I can't take him to the park, I will put him down.
But what if he could be in the house laying by your feet and he just is just happy to be there?
Because I don't think, as a dog, that he would be happy.
You don't know.
But well, there is a very...
I think I do know.
There is a very natural...
Than me, for sure. Because
there is a very natural progression to relinquishing the things of youth as you grow old, gracefully. And going, my body is changing. You can be a healthy 70-year-old and not do the things you did when you were 30.
Yeah, totally. Listen,
like, I want to be like Rose from Titanic dropping that fucking expensive
diamond. What was that noise? She goes,
I just make that noise on the daily.
I mean, but again, like, coming back to what Andrew's saying, like, I've said it time and time again. To me, life is about quality over quantity. So as soon as my life and maybe that dog analogy was really bad, but
it made sense at first.
It makes sense. It's not that it doesn't make sense.
But for me personally, when I know that I don't want to get to a point. I don't want to get to a point where I can't like. I don't want to get to a point and have to stay in a point where I have to lay in a bed and not be able to do anything and like force the people that I love to like fucking sit by me and like wait for me to go.
Yeah.
Dude, if I get to that point, as soon as I'm like, well, I'm in this bed and this is where I'm going to be until I'm dead. And let's make that happen now. Like, let's cut out all of the shit that comes with like, this long, drawn-out, labored, slow death, which is why I'm such a proponent of or such an advocate for doctor-assisted suicide.
Yeah, yeah.
Like dying with dignity, I think it's so important. Like, why would you want to just lay and suffer?
It's
and not just
like
suffer yourself, but everyone else suffer.
Something I was really, like, angry about when I was told I was terminal was having to tell other people.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing to be dead and have other people tell people that you're dead. But it's another to have to call those people and be like,
I'm going to be dead.
I'm going to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the outlook. And then you're like, you're devastated, they're devastated, and then you hang up the phone, and then you call the next person on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have that same conversation. Mm. Like, calling my friends in Toronto, it was like, I spoke to them all on the same day, and end of the day, I was like...
completely exhausted.
Just destroyed. And I was so pissed off. I was like, people who die instantly are so fucking lucky that they don't have to sit through this fucking agonizing pain. Like, I just remember being so mad that... why did I have to sit through that?
Yeah.
Why did I have to do that? Like, it's like hurting your friends to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only other option is to like orchestrate like a Google Hangout.
Yeah.
Get everybody.
Guys, everyone come together really now. We're going to have a conference call on this.
So,
I think that's why I talk about dying so openly, so constantly. is because I know that that's going to be tough for like you guys. I know it's going to be tough for Bridie and my parents and my sister.
And
like,
you're educating the people around
and
you.
And so to I'm be, just yeah. prepping everyone. I'm going, okay. Hey, yeah, by the way, this is coming. Yeah, like, yeah. We're all going to be in a room and I'm going to drink this juice. Like, you know, like that's.
Dude,
that's,
I'm so in denial about your death though. I'm like, huh. Yeah.
But I mean, every know, day, what, I'm whatever. Like, that's so. Right now, that's something that's so far down the road, right? Yeah. Like I'm completely healthy living with CF. Like my lung function is good compared to a lot of people's, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I'm not even on a list for lung transplant right now, but that is an inevitable thing that's going to happen. Like we were saying, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen, and if it has to happen sooner for someone like you and I,
yeah.
I'd way rather have everyone on board and like fucking expecting that shit long ahead.
Well, it was interesting. Like, well, so I work very closely with this dancer, and recently I helped her apply for this research grant, and so she's studying death rituals around the world.
Whoa.
Yeah, so like super spending time with Cult of the Dead in India, going down to Dia de los Muertos in Mexico, like spending time with like a seer in Mexico as well, like shaman type people, and just like going around the world learning about how people react to death, right? And then, like, as we were doing this, I was getting diagnosed. I was being told I was terminal. Like, it was just, like, the most fucked up meta situation. Crazy. Yeah. But, like, something we did with, like, my closer friends was a funeral. We, like, pre-enacted my funeral. So this was something she had done with her family previously, where each member did this, where they would die. And then it was like, okay, so what do you do?
She did this with her family?
Yeah, it was like, what an she's open, an intense,
interesting
like,
family.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like there's
sure, that. We'll be a part of your performance plans, art
like,
piece.
Yeah, I was like the stage manager for this. And it was like, so I wouldn't be in the actual because they were so intense, like these pre-funerals. But it was really, I don't know how my friends felt about it. Like, we did kind of talk about it and they're like, that was really fucked up. But it was like, kind of establishing what needed to be, like, literally the plans. Okay, so who do we contact when Andrew dies? Who's the ones who are coming to the funeral? What is the funeral going to look like? And so they, like, essentially, like, planned out my funeral while I sat there dead.
Yet still listening.
But I mean, still like, listening, yeah.
Like, and you're like, no. You, like, sit up.
You chime
like,
up.
No.
But you're not allowed to, right? Like, that's here, the motherfucker. Reality. Yeah.
And, yeah. That ain't happening.
Yeah. That's so, crazy. Like, it's... But I recommend it to people. There is something we based that off of was this like death dinners organization. So it's ran by medical professionals, and basically it's like planning a dinner party about death. So you choose like who the audience is, like who's coming. Is it your parents? Is it your friends? Is it strangers? Are they professionals? Like, who's the audience? Then what kind of topics do you want to talk about? And then they'll give you articles, video clips, and audio clips for everyone to listen to beforehand. And then everyone comes to dinner and talks about death.
Is it like a murder interesting. Mystery almost?
No. I mean, you can come in costume. I'm
someone's
sure.
actually dead and everyone's trying to figure out who. You choose six people not to show up and it's like, all right, we got to boil down. Out of those six people, which one's dead?
I mean, that was a contender for one of my funerals. I was like, can we make my funeral like a murder mystery party?
Can I ask
up?
You about that? Like what if you were to have your funeral tomorrow? Yeah, what would be like, the ideal situation?
So I want to be embalmed in a champagne bottle.
Oh my God, it's right here.
Champagne's my life right force. Yeah. It is like, yeah. So I was like literally talking to glass artists, being like, can you do a life size, like a human size champagne bottle?
Which wouldn't be that huge because I think when you get, oh wait. Oh my fuck, you said embalmed in a...
Yeah, like I want to be corpse.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
holy like, fuck! When I you thought first you said embalmed, I thought...
I pictured cremated.
Yeah, me too.
Oh no.
Like, you're talking like... You're talking
whole
like
body.
Full body.
Just like nude floating in champagne for the rest of existence.
Hold on.
Like
hold
a
on.
Massive like...
Did anybody go... Yeah, we can do that.
The people who did, I was like, you're the best people to have around. my family was like, that's not happening. That and I was like, screw you guys. Like, this is my fucking death.
Yeah. That's when you're like, fuck it, I'm moving to Toronto.
Yeah.
That's the disagreement. That's the disagreement.
He didn't want to talk about it. We brought it up.
I want to be in the champagne box.
Damn it, guys. I want like a parade in the streets. Like, I've established this, but even like things my friends wanted to do, they were like, everyone has to wear a costume. So like they threw a birthday party for me in September because we all thought I was going to die. So this was like,
I just want to interject, keep that story going. But like, I was thinking at first when you said you want to be embalmed in a champagne bottle, I was thinking that's pretty extravagant, but not so long ago, Egyptians said, I want you to build a huge fucking pyramid over the next 25 years and then bury me in that. So I kind of think your champagne bottle thing, like, it's not really
it's not that unreasonable.
It's not really that crazy.
Yeah, and like, I'm not talking about expensive champagne here. Like, it can be Bambino. Just pour it in, seal that.
As long as I put it in the glass, then.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So like, my friends threw me a birthday party in September and they thought I was going to die. And so this was like the last party, right? And a lot of like, it was the most fucked up experience because like everyone I knew showed up. And it was
Katie told me the bar, like they opened up for you and they were like, yeah, we won't close down normal hours. We'll
Yeah. They extended their hours and everything. And it was just like,
that's fucking awesome.
Crazy. Yeah. But yeah, it was like, that was sort of what I wanted, like the celebration of like everyone comes in costumes. There's a dress code. You got to be fucking fabulous to get in, or you go to like a fucking change room and they're gonna throw like a sequin cape on you.
Oh yeah,
you know, and just be like, deal with it. Like that's how you should be at this funeral. Yeah.
Sweet.
Awesome.
I think we gotta wrap it up. Yeah.
That's what she said.
For fuck's sakes, Brian. Is there anything that you'd like to add or anything that you'd like to say, maybe in particular to anyone who's, you know, who just recently went through a pretty rough diagnosis or is struggling with their illness?
God, it seems so like...
Everything you've said so far
is what they need.
Yeah, I know. Like,
I just think like just like it's your truth, like it's who you are, like regardless of anything. It's not like there is me and then there is my cancer. It is like my cancer is me, and you have to be able to just own that. And the quicker you can wrap your head around accepting your illness and accepting the state you're in, the better you will feel about everything that comes at you.
That's awesome.
Sweet.
I love that.
Nail on the head.
I think that's it. Thank you. Thank you all so much for tuning in tonight. If you enjoyed it, go over to iTunes. If you're not subscribing already, what the fuck are you doing? Subscribe. Give us a rating. Give us a review. Let us know what you thought of today's episode. Reach out to us on Twitter. And if you want to stay up to date, follow us on Facebook and go to our website if you want to be on the show. www.sickboypodcast.com.
Most fucked up grinder experience of my life.
I thought this was going to be so much different.
We ended up, and now I'm grinder.
We kept all of our clothes on and now we're saying goodbye? What?
Thank you so much, Andrew. And thank you everybody for listening.
I'm Brian.
I'm Taylor.
And I'm Jeremy, and this is Sick Boy.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.